Good evening. Just to say before we begin that just after this short devotional message this evening, we will sing number 506 from New Christian Hymns. If you happen to have the words somewhere handy, it's "What Kind of Love Is This?" then please join in. If not, I'm afraid you're going to have to sit there and listen to me. It is right at the end, so you can cut me off if you really want to. Before we start, I'm just going to pray and then read some familiar words from Romans chapter 8, verse 31 to 39. Lord and Heavenly Father, as we gather together today, not in each other's presence, but in your presence, we know that, Lord, you've promised to be with us. We pray that you would surround us, encourage us, bless us as we just spend a few moments thinking about you and praying. And pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Bless us, Lord, as we gather around your word, and pray that, Heavenly Father, that you would strengthen us and encourage us for the days to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Romans chapter 8, verses 31 to 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we're being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This is God's word. Well, we do live in uncertain times. At the risk of sounding like a broken record, I seem to start with that every time at the moment. And it is. I mean, over 800 people in the UK have died even today in the last 24 hours of the coronavirus. None of us are really quite sure who it will affect, when it will affect them. I know people now who are suffering from symptoms and are self-isolating. Even our Prime Minister has been struck down with this. No one's too high and no one is too low. We're not sure what the immediate effects of coronavirus will be. We're not sure what sort of world we'll emerge into when and if lockdown is ever lifted. Well, what is Paul saying to the believers in Rome here? It's good to have something that is certain. They were going through uncertain times themselves. They were being persecuted for their faith. Everything and anything that you could imagine was being thrown at them as believers. And it was good to have something to hold on to. Well, Paul gives them some certainties here, some things that he is sure of. What does he say? He says in verse 38, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers. And then he says that nothing. Who shall separate us from Christ? Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're not immune from danger. He gives us a pretty comprehensive list, doesn't he? He said tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword. For your sake, we've been killed all along. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. And then he goes on, neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height or depth or anything else in all creation. That's a pretty comprehensive list. That's anything that you can imagine comes within that list. Anything under heaven basically falls within that list. And he's saying, well, none of that, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God. We're not necessarily immune from any of those things, but nothing will separate us from God's love in Christ. Well, why is that? Well, the first reason is that it's God's nature. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says this, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. It's a fundamental part of his nature. In fact, it is his nature. We cannot separate God from his love. It was his will in the first place to create us that we might share in that love. It was his will to redeem us that we might share in that love forever, eternally with him. It's God's nature. Secondly, it's an unchanging and an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31 and 3 says this: "The Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you." Because it's part of his nature and his character, the love of God is as unchanging as he is. It doesn't get up in the morning and not feel like loving. At no point does he feel any more or less love than he does now or ever has had. It is not something that is transient or is dependent on feelings. It is his character. It is his nature. He never changes, so it never changes. It has never changed, and it never will change. Thirdly, it is not dependent on us. Romans 5 and verse 8. "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God's love never depended on us. God's love reaches to us despite our sin. You know, we often use the phrase, "God loves me as I am." Well, that is true, but it's not an affirmation of the way we are. God loves us despite the way we are, really. And it's his will that is that by his love, we are transformed more and more and more into his likeness. His love doesn't depend on us. And we know his love only through the love that is lavished on us in Christ and through his grace. But it is a love that is active towards us. Incredibly familiar words. We recite them pretty much every week. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God made the first move. When we were hopeless, when we were helpless, God made the first move. When it may be an old-fashioned custom or an old-fashioned concept these days, but it was traditional today in my day that when a relationship begins, that it's the man who makes the first move. As I say, that's perhaps a bit old-fashioned these days. In a sense, that's a picture of God's love. He made the first move. When we were lost, he saved us by his love. He reached out his hand and took us by the hand. And he brought us to know him through Christ. It's not the other way around. He first loved us. And then finally, it's declared and sealed in Christ. For Romans 6 and verse 5 says this: "For we have been united with him in death, like his. We shall certainly be united with him in resurrection, like his." The reason we can't be separated from God's love is that we are one with Christ. If we believe in Christ, we are in Christ. And in Christ, we are one with him. In the same way that the Trinity are one, we are one with Christ. When we are joined to Christ, we are secure in him as he is in the Father. And all that he has in the Father, all the love that he shares in the Father, he shares with us. "Loved with everlasting love," the hymn writer said, led by grace that love to know. It's a lovely thought, isn't it, that in uncertain days, God's love is for us. If God be for us, who can be against us? God's love is active towards us. God's love is unchanging, and God's love is part of his character, and it will never desert us, because if we're in Christ, we will always have his love. John Owen, the Puritan, said these words, and I'll close with this: "The greatest sorrow and burden you can lay on the Father, the greatest unkindness you can do to him, is not to believe that he loves you." Well, if you have the words to what kind of love in front of this is this in front of you, then please join in. If not, I'm afraid you can either turn me off or you can just sit there and listen to me. What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? I am the guilty one, yet I go free.
What kind of love is this? A love I've never known. I didn't even know his name. What kind of love is this? What kind of man is this? That died in agony. He who had done no wrong was crucified for me. What kind of man is this who laid aside his throne? I may know the love of God. What kind of man is this? By grace I have been saved. It is the gift of God. He destined me to be his son. Such is his love. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, nor has the heart of man conceived. What kind of love is this?
Take care, be safe all, and look forward to meeting with you again on Sunday. God bless.